Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that, whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Anna was only 18 years old when she realized that she was going to have a baby. The father was a fling, an unreliable guy. Anna was distraught. How could she have been so careless? How could she have let this happen? She prayed and talked to her parents and her friends and decided that she would have the baby and give it up for adoption. "I'm not fit to be a mother," she said. "And selfishly, I want to go to college." She had the baby, a little girl, and she signed a paper giving up all of her parental rights. A couple from Connecticut who had had two boys wanted a girl as their third child, but didn't want to risk it biologically, so they thought they would adopt a little girl, and they were thrilled. When Anna signed those papers, she gave up being a mother to her daughter forever, or so she thought. Anna found that as the years went by, there was not a day when she didn't think about that baby girl. What was she growing up to look like? Was she happy? Was she sad? Anna carried that little girl in her heart. And every time that she moved, she would contact the adoption agency and make sure that they had her new address, just in case her daughter ever wanted to contact her. But she never did. 30 years passed. That little baby girl, whose name was Jennifer, was getting ready to be married. One day, Jennifer came home from work, and her fiancé shocked her by saying, "Jennifer, I'm not going to marry you yet." She burst into tears. "Why won't you marry me? Don't you love me?" she asked him. "You are not ready to marry me," her fiancé said. "I want you to go and find your biological mother. You have wondered about her all of your life. Go and find her. Meet her. And then I'll marry you." Anna contacted the adoption agency, or Jennifer contacted the adoption agency, and Anna, her mother, was not hard to find. They went and spent a weekend together on Amelia Island, walking the beaches and talking. Anna thought that her daughter was so beautiful and so mature. At the end of the weekend, Jennifer surprised her biological mother by asking her to sit in the front row at her wedding. And so Anna found herself in this beautiful church, sitting on the very front row at this wedding, as this gorgeous bride came down the aisle. And she thought to herself, "This is not fair. I didn't do any of the work. I didn't change a single diaper. I didn't live through pimply adolescence. And yet here I am, sitting on the front row at the wedding of my baby girl." The adoptive parents were so welcoming. And when Jennifer had her first baby, they shared being grandparents with Anna. And all the time, she felt so blessed. But she also knew that it was so unfair. Today, Jesus tells us a parable that gives us great insight into our relationship with God. The parable is about a landowner who owns a vineyard, and he hires workers, people to labor in the vineyard. He hires them, though, throughout the day. He hires some at the beginning of the day, some in the middle of the day, and some right at the end, like 5 minutes before the day is over. And when the day is finally over, the owner of the vineyard pays the laborers the same amount. Those who worked for only 5 minutes get the same amount of money as those who started at the beginning of the day. It is blatantly unfair. And the workers who started at the beginning of the day have every right to complain because they worked so much harder than the guy who just showed up at the last minute, right? God's love is not fair. God's grace is not fair. It is good. It is incredible. But it is not fair. When I was at my first little church, a man called up and wanted to come by my office. He had found my church in the Yellow Pages. Yes, this was a while back. He comes rushing in my office and says, "I just found out that I have cancer all through my body and I only have a few weeks to live, and I need to confess my sins." "Okay," I said. "Do you have any religious background at all?" "Nope, I've never been to church in my life, except occasional wedding or funeral. But I need to confess my sins right now." "Okay," I said. Well, not to divulge anything, but this guy had lived a life. It took us a while. And then a week later, he calls on the phone. "Mother Kate, I need you to come by my house. I can't come to you because I'm too sick. I can't walk." "Okay," I said, and I raced over there. "Mother Kate, I was saying my prayers, which I don't really know how to do, but I was just talking to God, and there I saw Jesus. He was right over there in the doorway, and he held out his arms for me. Is that real?" And I said, "Sounds pretty real to me." A few days later, he died. And I'll tell you, his funeral was a complete disaster. He had made no plans. He had all these wives and all these mistresses that hated each other, and they were warring with each other. And it was a complete disaster, and yet I knew that he made it. Now, how is that fair? I mean, here we are, faithfully showing up to church, right? Giving of our time and our talent and our treasure and all that good stuff. And he shows up at the last minute, having partied his entire life, and he gets to go to heaven. How is that fair? Well, the thing is, Jesus never promised us fair. In fact, fairness is really the concept of a preschooler, isn't it? You know, when you're in preschool and the other guy has more toys than you and you say, "It's not fair, he got a lollipop and I didn't." That's where it comes from. It's a very human concept, the concept of things being fair. God is too wise and too vast to give us all the same thing. John Claypool, an Episcopal priest, lost his daughter when she was 7 years old to leukemia. He would later write about one morning when he sat at his breakfast table so depressed that he could hardly breathe. It was so unfair. All of these people had healthy children, and his daughter, his precious little girl, was gone. And in that moment, when he was struggling to breathe, he looked up, and across the kitchen table, there sat his son, his only surviving child, eating a bowl of Cheerios. And John Claypool wrote that in that moment, he realized that he had a choice. He had every right to spend the rest of his life angry at God and feeling sorry for himself because his precious little girl was gone. Or he could look at his son and give thanks that his boy was with him. And he could give thanks for the 7 years that he had with his daughter. In that moment, he realized that it was up to him how he viewed his life. Think about your life for a moment. Are there ways in which you feel cheated by God? Have you never found the love of your life? Do you wish that you had more money, a nicer house, a better job? Every single one of us has suffered in some way. And every single one of us has a choice. Because life is not fair, and we have a right to complain about it. Or we can be grateful. Oh, why should I be grateful, you may ask? I have arthritis, and I can hardly walk. I'm not speaking to my children. I lost my job. That's true. I'm sure that you have suffered. But I want you to ponder for a moment the possibility that you won the lottery just by being born. Think of all the myriad of genes that we're combining together to create you. The fact that you're here is a miracle. It is a gift. And who receives a gift and then complains that it's not the right one? My son heard Dr. Ryan Wheaty speak at Episcopal this past week. He said that Dr. Wheaty made this analogy. Not believing in God, he said, is like believing that there's this vast junkyard and a tornado happens to sweep through the junkyard and create an F-16 fighter that works. The creation is so miraculous. How can we be anything but grateful? You may not deserve it, but you have been invited to sit in the front row of the wedding of Christ, the dance of creation, the great feast of God. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you call us to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yet we live in a broken world. Show us how to love you here in the urban core of Jacksonville. Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless the nations of the earth. Help us to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for peace in the Middle East and an end to the violence in Central America. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the world.
For peace in the Ukraine. We continue to pray for those in the Middle East facing the threat of violence for their faith. We pray that all nations of the region may unite for an end to hostilities.
Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless all those who are sick, hungry, lonely, or suffering in any way. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers. Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
We pray for the church throughout the world, especially for the Christians of the Middle East, China, and North Korea, and for this congregation here in the heart of the city. I invite you to speak aloud your petitions for the church and this city. Merciful God,
help us to love at the core.
Bless those who have died. May they see you face to face. We remember especially Betty Rutherford. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Merciful God,
help us to love at the core. Merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this life, which is not fair but is so good. And we ask you to help us to have grateful hearts. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. If you're a new person, there is a newcomer card that's found in your pew, and you can fill it out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. And if you're new to the congregation and would like some information about the cathedral, please raise your hand so we can greet you and bring you an information bag. But you need to hold up your hand high so we can find you and keep it up. We're so glad you all are here today. Welcome, welcome. We need coffee hour angels, which means you bring cookies. So if you can bring cookies, sign the easel in Tolliver Hall, and we're grateful for that. We have a wonderful article by Bonnie Hardman on the jacket of your bulletin about our engagement groups. Bonnie has come up with many ideas for how to bring the community together. Foyer groups, dinner groups, which over 100 people have signed up for already, is one possibility. Walking and running groups, going on a cruise, going to a baseball game, there's lots of things that you can do. So read the article and call or sign up for what you're interested in. Bonnie's also starting a volunteer singing group because we love you, choir, but you're so good that many of us could never get in the choir, right? But we want to make a joyful noise. So if you're one of those people, there's a meeting after this service in Ingram Lounge with Bonnie to talk about singing. If you are someone who's done Curcio, the retreat, there is a reunion today in Altrea at 5 o'clock. And if you've ever attended Curcio, please contact Tom Burrell so he can have your contact information and check out the Curcio board outside of the kitchen. I want you all to get ready for early October. Remember, October 5th is St. Francis Sunday, and we always bless a lot of animals at 9 o'clock. Outside, of course, because they make a mess, but you're welcome to bring any kind of critter. We love to see the variety. So Sunday, October 5th, out in the Labyrinth cloister area outside of the church. Also, the author of Toxic Charity will be coming on Wednesday, October 15th at 7 p.m. Robert Lupton is his name. It is an incredible book, and I hope those of you who are interested will come. Also, remember, we're singing the Lord's Prayer as a trial run. So the Lord's Prayer is found in the beginning of your hymnal, and it has a number, S, let's see, what is it, S something. S-119. And we are in the midst of our pledge drive. You will be receiving a packet with a pledge card in the mail in the beginning of October. But you can also go online to the website and just pledge right there. Mark Richardson, who is on the vestry and head of our pledge drive, is going to say a few words. There you go, Mark.
Thank you, Dean Kate. Hopefully you've received a letter in the mail from me already talking about our pledge drive. And I'm reminded that just 10 years ago, I was invited to this wonderful space, my wife Diane and I, by my sister Celeste. Many of you may know her as the Reverend Celeste Tisdale of Green Cove Springs and a former canon here. Now, you might ask, if your sister has her own church, what are you doing here? That's a good question, one my sister Celeste asked me weekly. The reason is that Diane and I love this holy space, and especially you, the people in it. We find Jesus Christ present in the services and ministries of this church. And I know you know that just because we all show up doesn't mean that these ministries and services take place. It takes financial resources to make them happen. And alone, you can't do the things that we together can do as a family. And that by working and sharing together, we can not only serve our Lord, we can help our church, but we can help one another also. As all of you know, the ministries of this church are so many that I don't have time this morning to speak about all of them. But each of those ministries require your time, your treasures, and your talents. And the blessings of these programs would fail if you didn't do that. I'm always reminded that my pledge may keep the AC on during a hot summer's morning, and that your pledge may provide a warm cup of coffee to someone on a cold night. It's together that we grow old relationships and create new ones as we build the family of God. Lastly, you might not know that I've been a police officer for 20 years. And in that time, I've learned that a measure of a life is not about what we give to ourselves, but rather what we gave of ourselves. Thank each of you, and God bless each of you.
Thanks, Mark. Remember the words of Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are a generous God, full of grace. You call each of us as laborers in your vineyard and give to all the full measure of reward gained for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us with that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.